When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Kat, you're on mute.
Oh, am I muted? Ha.
There you go.
There we go. That's better. Welcome, Caitlin, to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for asking me. It's been a long time. I can't believe how many years it's been.
Yeah.
We talk about this quite a bit on the show. It's been 7 years since we did the first season of the show.
Oh my gosh, 7 years. That's insane.
Yeah. It's astounding how much each of us has done and how far we've come and everything. And yet, you know, the Shadow Fam is still going strong. So we couldn't obviously complete a season one rewatch / deep dive without the one and only Camille.
Oh.
So first of all, how are you? How's life? How's the family?
Good. So I'm great. I now have two kids, which is crazy because when I first started Shadowhunters, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're good. They're like, I guess it makes sense because Avery is turning 6 this year. And then my little one is 2.5. So
Oh my gosh.
I brought Avery to set 5 weeks after I gave birth to her to shoot Shadowhunters season 2.
Yeah.
So that little one was on set at like 5 weeks old. She's a little Shadowhunter baby. Yeah.
That's cute. That's really cool. Yeah.
That's something that's amazing about the show is, you know, looking back and seeing how everyone's personal lives have changed too. You know, all the kids and marriages and houses and everything.
That's a lot of kids.
We've all kind of
like right after Shadowhunters, people just started pumping out babies like left, right, and center. It was crazy.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? What's new?
We're good. No kids, good. As far as I know.
Yeah. No children as of yet.
No kids for me.
That's okay.
Dogs and cats. And that's what we're good with. But we're good. Yeah. Caitlin, why don't we start with, I've been sort of asking everyone to start in the same way, but tell us and tell the fans listening, your baby steps. Tell us how you got started with acting, how, like, where this world drew you in, what you found cool about it. You know, just Give us a little Caitlin.
What brought you to this crazy industry?
So I originally wanted to be like a runway model, and that was like my dream, or like be on billboards. And so I got an agent when I was young, and they were like, listen, you're never going to be a runway model. You're way too short. And I was like, oh, my dreams are crushed. Like, try acting. I was like,
Are you way too short? I don't think you're too short. Are you?
Yeah, I'm 5'4". I mean, I feel like now. I feel like Camille, I think, was just like a bigger presence, but I'm little. I'm 5'4". And wow, so they're like, you're never going to be runway. Yeah, I know. So they put me in acting classes, and then I got an agent, and I started auditioning for shows, and I booked a couple things here and there. But, you know, I went through university. I did a lot of print modeling, and then I stayed in Toronto to do university. And I really wanted to get my degree before I decided to do anything. So I got a degree in psychology, and then I booked a movie, like my first lead, at the same time. So I filmed it, came back, graduated, and then I decided it was just like the industry kind of was like, yep, nope, you're going to do this. And then I kind of put all my eggs in that basket and went with it. And I've been, you know, really lucky that I can still do what I love. And I've been in the industry for a long time, and it is a crazy industry, that's for sure. But yeah, I love it. I wouldn't do anything else.
Oh, that's amazing. So tell us a little bit why you chose psychology and what was sort of behind that. I'm always curious as to, you know, why people study what they do.
I originally wanted to be like an operational nurse. And my mom was like, that's never going to work for you. Like, you're not going to be like that person. And I'm not. And she was so right. But I think when nursing, like when I did my first year, I had to do psychology and I just fell in love with it. I feel like most people, that's how they kind of get into. They take a psych course and then they're like, this is so interesting. And then there's so much more. So I wanted to like go into like do therapy for people, like help. I just wanted to help people. And I really found psychology super interesting and relatable to everyone and everything. So I ran a pet therapy program at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health here in Toronto.
Wow. While
I was finishing university. Yeah. And I wanted to work there. That's why like I ran this program with my family dog, and she was amazing. And I learned so much more there than I did in school, because you're like, just like acting, it's like you can take a million classes, but until you get on set, that's when you really learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to work at CAMH, which is the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. And then I booked a movie and realized that this is what I want to do. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Pet therapy is therapy with pets, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Not okay, therapy cool. for pets.
You say that like it's a ridiculous thing. I lived in LA for like 6 years, and we bumped into this person who was a pet, not mystic, like what are they called? The people you
like
go
a
to
dog and whisperer? Like,
yeah, no, but they like read. Who are they
like
called?
A psychic?
Psychic. That's what I'm thinking. Thank you very much. It was a pet psychic, and they would like, "Do you want to talk to your dead dog? Because we can do it here." And I was like, "Wow, okay." I don't think because couldn't talk to him when he was alive, so I don't know what you're going to offer me. Like, are you also a translator? Oh, this is a weird thing. So you say it like it's a crazy thing, like therapy for pets, but
yeah,
I think
you're right.
In LA, there's a world for it.
I think so too. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. I'm glad it wasn't that. I'm glad it was therapy with pets. I think that might be more beneficial all around.
Yes, I think so.
So talk to us a little bit about your journey with Shadowhunters. So you'd been in the industry for a while. You're working in Toronto. You're working probably all over Canada, I can only assume.
Yeah.
And this comes across your proverbial desk. What were your first impressions of Camille? What was your sort of, did you know of the book series? What was your journey into our world?
So I was obsessed with vampires. I don't know what it was. I was just like the most obsessed with vampires.
Really?
I thought they were, it was so weird. Like before Shadowhunters, I just loved vampires. Like I want to be a vampire like in real life. I was just like, I just thought they were so cool. I don't
which
know.
Which vampires?
This was, like the,
like
yeah,
which
kind?
Ones, you know, because vampires went all the way from like Nosferatu in the 20s,
right,
the 1919s,
right,
through like Blade, Buffy, like which
yes,
iteration
like,
of vampires got
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I feel like, so Buffy, I was always, that's like definitely my generation growing up. And then of course, like the Twilight thing blew up and everyone was a vampire werewolf. So I just like loved it. I thought it'd be really cool to play a vampire, I think more so than anything. And so when I got the audition for Camille, I was like, oh my God, this would be my dream come true. I just thought she was such a good character. I didn't know anything about the books prior to going in to even audition for it. But I booked it the next day, and honestly, it was insane. I mean, I'm sure you guys all like it was.
You went in, audition, and then booked it right away.
Yeah, I had auditioned for a couple things before that.
Okay.
This happened. I think I had two auditions.
Yeah, I auditioned for Izzy first, mm-hmm. and then they wanted me to audition for Dot, but I was in Bali, so I couldn't. And then I came back, and Camille came, and I was so happy because I was like, "This is the one I would really want to do." And then I found out the next day, and then it was just crazy. It was just like really overwhelming and crazy, and then fans and everything. So it was a whirlwind. But then I got down to research because I soon found out that I don't look anything like Camille does in the books, which was a problem for people at the beginning.
As it always is. You have to give actors the opportunity to prove themselves. It's really important. And it's important that like we give people chances. Like this is our industry. This is what we do. There's this new one going around that people are pissed that Emilia Clarke isn't blonde. The show is about dragons.
I know.
She's Emilia Clarke.
I guess it's like when people are so invested in a book. And like, as you know, when you read a book, you're watching it in your head. Totally. Right? So they get so invested with these characters. And then when I pop up as Camille, who is like, you know, she's such a badass character. They're like, that's not what I pictured her to look like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had some hate and then I had some love.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, okay, I need to really figure out who Camille is. So I did a lot of research, read, research, everything, because I was like, okay, I don't look like her, but I need to be her. Mm-hmm. And just to like give the fans what they wanted, because I get that. I get their like disappointment. Although I was really hoping to rock a blonde wig. I'm not going to lie. I was like, yes, do it.
Did they ever try one on? Was that ever a remote possibility, or did they just keep your hair's gorgeous.
No, I was so hoping to. I mean, I thought it'd be really cool.
Of course.
You know, to rock a blonde wig, and I still would look a little bit different, but at least give them that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. I mean, I was wearing a wig. I was wearing like a double wig. It was extremely heavy on my head, but it was black. It was like dark hair, but no, that was never a thing, unfortunately. But that's okay. I think I love Camille anyway. I love what they did with her. So,
and we love your Camille as well. You did a great job.
Absolutely. Huge credit to you for all the research that you did, because you and David Castro really got to establish what vampires are on our show. And this is, you know, this is something Dom and I got to speak about when we were rewatching the episodes, but there's so many different iterations of vampires over all across all media. And we got to, as you know, you got to invent Camille of your own accord. You and David sort of got to invent what vampires are in our world and establish. And without the two of you who brought such, you especially being the leader of the vampire clan, who brought so much gravitas and history and nuance to what that character was, it really set us up for, you know, success in the future.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it was just so fun to like read about her backstory. You know, she's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and, you know, she's mean and evil, but she's sly. And like, you know, she had to have charm, or you would just hate her like all the villains are. But I loved her backstory. I thought it was amazing. I really loved doing the research for her.
There's an interesting sort of theological concept that comes with immortality, that eventually you will always end up being somewhat the bad guy. Like if you look over history of human beings, and obviously therefore theoretically vampire history as well, watching society make the same mistakes and repeat things like war and genocide and, you know, all of these horrendous things that just sort of keep cycling through history. I don't know how you do anything but lose faith. You know what I mean? I think it's a very easy thing to happen for vampires to end up like, yeah, we really don't care about these people because they do consistently make the same mistakes despite guidance, despite learning from them and having that mistake written down and re-divulged in schools again and again and again. These mistakes still end up happening. So there's a world in which I understand these like jaded vampires who are like, yeah, they're just food. Like I'm into that. Not that that's what I'm into in any way, shape or form. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I think that's so well said. Absolutely. Like, I mean, especially even what's going on right now in our current state of the world, which is a dark, I feel a dark time right now.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's like history repeats itself. And so when you go through that over and over and over again, you're desensitized. You're like, I don't care. Like, I'm not even going to get attached to you because you'll die or whatever. Yeah. Right. And that's kind of how she looked at life, I feel. But that was so well said. Absolutely. I agree.
It's not mine. So it's someone else's theory. I can't take any credit for it. I don't remember whose it was, but it's not mine.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Well, there was such an intriguing quality that you brought to Camille, in that she had this sense of fashion and gravitas, and her look was so much of who she was, which played into part of our vampire world, being that they're the collectors of items. But Camille almost seemed like a collector of people as well, be it Simon mm-hmm. or Raphael, or, you know, all of these, Magnus even, in a way. Is that something that sort of played into the creation of that character, or what did you kind of pull from when you were doing your research and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I love the dynamic and the different relationships she had, like with Simon. You know, it was like she got pure satisfaction and joy out of tormenting him, right? Until, like, as he was especially turning into a vampire. And same with David as well. Like, their relationship was so, like, good cop, bad cop kind of thing. I just wanted to make sure that each relationship was played differently. Like, she treated Simon differently than, of course, Raphael. And then Magnus was always the one constant that I feel like I kind of just felt like Camille, if she were to even have a heart, it would be like the smallest amount would be for Magnus. Like, there was just that history. And I think it's because of the history and the going through things over and over again and always, you know, coming back, that I wanted to, like, establish that relationship to be completely different than with everyone else. Not to mm-hmm. say that she had a soft spot, but sort of. Do you know, I think, like, a soft spot in, like, a Camille way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As soft of a spot as Camille can have for
anyone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And maybe she does have a soft spot, but she would always, like, hide that, you know, and keep it, you know, hidden.
I think that's, in, you know, adding on to that theory we were talking about earlier, like, I don't think necessarily your sense of morality or empathy or compassion disappears. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's jaded, it's shadowed. Like it's something totally. You're like, well, I don't need this thing anymore because it's been proven to not be effective to me. So I think Camille absolutely has it. I think it's there. And I think we just didn't see it very often.
Right. I think she's good at hiding that stuff. I mean, she's been around for hundreds of years. So she, you know, she has that. She just has that like knowledge, you know,
Well, she's a survivor.
Speaking of the hundreds of years, what was it like to do? Because you guys didn't you do like a whole photo shoot sort of through the years?
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Tell us about
that. You got to do like costumes from like 1800s, early 1900s, then now.
You and Harry, right? And did Harry Adam do that as well?
Yes, Adam.
Adam, yeah.
That was honestly one of my favorite moments. The costume, hair, and makeup was amazing. I wanted so badly. I think originally it was like we were supposed to have a scene where we're at the party in those costumes.
Cool.
But something happened. We ended up having to like, you know, just do the photos and whatever and take the pictures. I just thought that was honestly so amazing. I mean, Camille's style was always great, but dressing up like in that era was phenomenal. I really wish I could see that picture. I can't even like picture it now. I mean, like what it really looked like, but
I'm sure we could track it down. But how much input did you get to have as far as Camille's look and the hair and the makeup and the wardrobe? Did you get to be a part of that process, or did they have it all planned and it just somehow worked perfectly on you because you're, you know, you?
Well, the dress, like that gorgeous dress she wore for the first episode was like made for me. So they like literally like, I didn't have any input on it, but I thought it was just the most stunning dress ever. It was so gorgeous, like nude under with the black lace over. We were great with like, what jewelry do you want to wear? Like, you know, especially with hair and makeup. Hair was a little less of a thing because I had to, like, these wigs were like sewed together. It was like two big wigs, which was really heavy. So, I mean, like the hair was just there. It was just a staple for her, which I loved. I mean, I thought it was great. But yeah, in terms of like nails and makeup and stuff like that, we definitely worked all together to do that stuff. Wardrobe, I think, was just done. They were like, this dress was made for Camille. And that old photo that we were just talking about, I don't even remember if I had an option. It was just like this huge, gorgeous green gown. And I was just more excited to like be put in it with my hair up in that.
For sure.
It was just awesome. Yeah. Adam was so great. Like, he was hilarious. I really loved him and Harry's like relationship as well. So it was fun.
Good stuff. Were there characters that you've seen? Because you said obviously that you were a huge fan of vampires previously. So whether it was vampires or not vampires, were there characters or people or anyone that you've met, people in your life, who did you draw on to sort of develop who Camille was? Or was there any? Some actors don't do that.
I don't think I drew on anyone like personally that I knew.
Okay.
Because she was just such like a... I mean, I've definitely done that with other characters. I don't think I know anyone who's like as badass as Camille. Right. I wish I did. Yeah, I would be best friends with her. But no, I just kind of like read up on the books. I knew that these fans were dedicated to these characters. Mm-hmm. And the fans were, as I'm sure you guys can agree, are one of the, if not the best part of Shadowhunters. They were just so incredible. So I just wanted to give her justice and to do her justice. So I just really read up and researched what she was like and kind of drew from what I would imagine she was like. I don't think I based her on anyone in particular. Although this is 7 years ago. I don't know. Maybe I did. I can't remember.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. That's what we keep finding is like, we'll rewatch things and I'll say something in one of the episodes, then I'll get to another episode and I'm like, that's not what I did. Now I remember what I did. That was just a complete lie, what I said in the previous episode. Now this is what I'm talking about. Because it's like we started filming. So your early episodes would have been 7 years ago, which is crazy that we've been doing this for 7 years. 7 years and two kids later for you. That's wild.
No. Yeah, exactly. I can't even remember what I did on Friday. So, I mean, it's going to be really difficult to remember.
But this is something that I just have to say, because it's so true for you and for so many of the folks on Shadowhunters, is the casting was so brilliant on this show. As someone who, you know, I read all the books, and getting to see all of these characters being brought in and meeting all of you often in hair, makeup, wardrobe, costume for the first time, mm-hmm. and seeing you dive in and bring so much to it. Everyone cared so much about the characters and did all the research, but there's also an inherent quality in each person, you know, yourself included. I think you're a lot more of a badass than you give yourself credit for. And there's so much of who you are inherently that gave Camille that extra little edge and that extra something special that I think really brought the magic, for lack of a better word, to her on screen. So just thank you for being such a team player.
That's so sweet. Oh my God. It was like, I miss Shadowhunters so much. I miss all the characters. I really was bummed when we had to stop.
Thank you
for saying that.
Well, and you were such a trooper going through so many different things, from, you know, being in 8-inch heels in a graveyard, or, you know, locked in a coffin and having to scream your head off.
Yeah, I bet, right?
Yeah. That was actually like one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my career. I think I'm a little claustrophobic. But I also think that being locked in a coffin with chains was also like a dark, you know, thought.
Yeah.
I was freaking out inside. My heart was like pounding.
Isn't that wild? Bet.
Yeah, it's not something I would have wanted to do at all. And I think Alberto had a similar experience when he did his emergence. He was talking about it. Like, it's not a fun thing to, like, it's not something that you're supposed to go through as a living human being.
No.
Yeah. It was weird. It was just like, Steve, that was our stunt guy mm-hmm. that first season, right? He was like, do you want me? I think he had his hand in like a hole, like holding my like leg or my arm or something, just to be like, it's okay. Like, there is an out, because I was freaking out. I was like so scared and claustrophobic. I definitely don't want to get put back into a box.
I completely understand. Okay. I have a question for you, because me and my girlfriend were discussing this recently. Okay. If your kids, this is not even vaguely Shadowhunters related, it's just occurred to me. I'm not a very good host of this show. That's what we're learning. Cause I go off script. If your kids, either of them or both of them, wanted to pursue a career in acting, what would you say to them?
I mean, I would never want to take that if they really wanted to do that. I don't think I would be able to say no. It's hard. I would just have to steer them in the right direction, because, as you know, it can go off into so many other horrible directions. Mm-hmm. It'd be hard, I think, because as we all know, like, you know, people glamorize the industry.
Yeah.
They really do.
But especially when you're young.
Yeah.
It's really rough. So I had a theory that I'm not a parent yet, so I don't know if this is necessarily going to be the right thing. My first kid is going to be very experimental, basically, is what we're figuring out. I'm going to take a lot of, like, let's see if this works with you.
Yeah.
And I think what I've sort of vaguely decided is, 16 years old, I need you to go through a certain level of school. I need you to develop who you are going to be as a human being before the industry tries to develop you. Because it will.
It's fair.
It will try and raise you a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I've landed on, is like, you need to have, and 16's, like, I didn't really know who I was at 16. I was still learning. I was still growing. But I had sort of my basis. I had my morality that was in place. Like, I had my semblance of right and wrong. I understood whatever it was. And I think that's where my headspace is at now with kids. I think you need to know who you are before you start pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Not just to be able to do a good job, but also because there's, as you say, like, we've all worked with people where we're like, that person kind of sucks. And it's not necessarily because they got into it early. It's not for any reason necessarily, other than the industry has kind of told them that there is a way to behave that is not the correct way to behave.
Yeah.
I think my kids need to know how to behave first. And then if you still want to do it, also gives you enough time to be like, maybe I don't want to do this. Like, I'm not sure. Like try some other things as well. See if you've got any other talents. Yeah. That's sort of where my headspace is at kind of right now.
Yeah, that's a good, but like, what if they're, you know, 9 and they're like, please, please, please. They see you do, and they're
tricky,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Or like, what if they're 9 and a role comes up in something that either I'm doing or a friend's doing that they'd be perfect for? Like, then what do you do? You know, like, a star-making role, what do you do at that point? It's such a tricky thing.
I know. Mm-hmm. I think because we're actors and we've been in the industry for so long, and we've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the glamorous, right? I think maybe we would have a better upper hand in kind of steering them in the right way. Do you know what I mean? Because you'd be like, yeah, you're on set and you're treated like royalty, and then, but that's ending. Like, it's over now. When you come back to reality and hang out with children instead of adults, and you know what I mean? Because I feel like kids grow up so much faster on set.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. You got to be, if they're begging you at 9, 10 years old, I just like, what do you do?
Yeah. What do you do?
I mean, Avery's been in 2 movies already.
No, really?
Wow. Yeah. Tell us what that's like. Were they things you were working on or something else?
Yeah. Yeah. So the first Christmas movie I ever did was with Vivica A. Fox, and they needed a child to play her granddaughter, who was like a mixed, like a ethnically ambiguous child. And Avery does look ethnically ambiguous. So I was like, can she do it? She was a baby. She was like a year and a half, maybe. I don't even think she was a year and a half. She was young. She was a baby. And she was in the movie with me playing Vivica's granddaughter. And then a couple years later, I was a producer on Christmas with the Prince. And they, I think like a little actor didn't show up. And so I got to put her in like a little scene and talk to her. And yeah, it was really, it was more for me because she was so young and little.
Right.
She doesn't really remember it, but it was just something for me that I could be like, I have this like forever on film, like the two of us in the scene, you know, together. So
yeah.
That's really beautiful.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And I think you're right about like being a parent in the industry, you have a responsibility because you have this understanding of how the industry works, right? You have this responsibility. So my mom, I remember this vividly. My mom came to my first ever sort of big premiere, ironically, for a vampire movie I did called Vampire Academy. So they flew her out. She arrives like 3.5 hours late. I don't know what's happened. Turns out she's had a fight with border control, which is very my mom. She's had this argument with border control. She said something along the lines of like, he was like, what are you doing here? And she went, I don't think that's your business.
Oh no.
It is, but there you go. Anyway, she arrives and we're in the middle of like round table press, me and Lucy Fry, my co-star. And an assistant or someone came over at some point and said, hey, can we get you anything? Do you need anything? And I said, actually, yes, I would love just a bottle of water, a glass of water. Thank you very much. And my mum, unbeknownst to me, has just walked in at the back of the room and she goes, first thing she said to me, she went, no, get your own fucking water. I was like, hey, mom,
I love that.
How you doing?
Oh my God.
That's how I know I'm always going to be a normal kid in this industry because my mom won't let me be in the house. She won't let me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
She won't let me change.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love your mom.
Yeah, your mom is wonderful.
Yeah, I guess you missed her. Yeah, she came season 1 with my little brother and my stepdad, but we were doing stuff with Jade in the woods. So we didn't interact that much. After
just the graveyard.
Yeah.
It was the graveyard. It was, I think, the last time we really...
That might have been the last time you and I interacted in the show.
No, weren't you there when we were looking for the... Oh, you weren't there. We were trying to save you.
I wasn't. Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Right, when we were trying to find the book. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it was just the graveyard. The graveyard night was fun. That was long.
It was fun. It was a long night.
Yeah, it was a long night.
Really long
night. It looked amazing, though.
It did look amazing. Mm-hmm. Vampire Speed is also something we should talk about.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about Vampire Speed in stilettos.
Vampire Speed was a little scary in stilettos at the graveyard because, you know, you could sink. But I just did it. I was like, okay, yeah. I feel like I was in those heels so much that I got like used to them. I don't think I could do it now, though. I'd be really scared. I'd probably fall and like break my ankle.
Yeah,
they sort of fuse to your feet after a while, don't they?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They were okay. I did it. I crossed my fingers and said, please don't fall. Please, that would be awful.
And you didn't, right? I don't think you fell once. You didn't even stumble.
No.
No, I didn't, thank God. But that would have been awful.
What an amazing
skill.
Fall
into a grave? That'd be great.
Yeah.
I fell in my combat boots. Episode 2 or 3 when we come and save Simon. And I broke my ankle. It was
you
fucked.
Did?
Probably 4 or 5 episodes. I couldn't walk. I was on crutches. It was horrendous. Mm-hmm. And that's not even in stilettos. I don't even think I was running. I think I just went over on it. And I was in like active footwear and I just went down. So credit to you ladies for just being so much more athletic than I could ever be.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, Kat, you had to do like fights and stuff in like heeled boots. And so did Oh my God, Izzy,
Emerald,
like, oh my God, her heels probably made mine look, you know, lame.
I think they were pretty similar. I think that's why I got confused with your height. Because you, it was right. A solid, like, I was like, in my head, I was like, she's at least 5'9". Like, that's crazy.
Oh,
that's a crazy thing to say. So your heels must have been at least 5 inches.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's assuming that I know how to just eyeball height down to the inch. Yeah. That I'm like, she's exactly 5'9".
She's exactly 5'9". No.
Well, to be fair, Dom, you gentlemen are all quite tall. And a lot of us ladies on the show were very short. So, you know, getting to have us in the same frame. I'm only 5'5", 5'6", maybe on a good day in the morning. And, you know, it's, I never know how tall I am anymore. I don't know how tall
I see.
You're taller
okay.
in the morning than you are later in the day, though.
There's no way. Really?
It's true. Infinitesimally.
Because you just, like, hunch?
Really?
Because gravity. Just, like, infinitesimally.
Because gravity?
Yeah.
So, in theory, I'm thinner in the morning also when I wake up because I've been horizontally affected by gravity for 8 hours.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's the exact same thing that you're saying. That's the exact same thing
like
that you're saying.
I feel like you are. I feel like if you weigh yourself in the morning, I feel like you'd be like, okay, I think I'm.
I mean, I'd probably be lighter because I've been doing something without putting anything into my body for.
Right.
But I don't know if I'd actually be physically
thinner
because gravity's had an effect on my body.
No, you're right.
That's true.
Where do I compress, Kat? Where is gravity having this effect on me? Is it my spine? Is my spine compressing by an inch?
I think so. I don't know if it's a full inch, but it's, you know. It's...
Oh, I don't like it. Now I'm going to measure myself tonight and then again.
We always get into weird science sidebars on this podcast. It's very funny. We have many science lessons in the midst of Return to the Shadows.
That.
Whether or not they're accurate is another story.
Yeah, we don't know yet. Don't take that to the bank. I don't know if that's cocktail talk at your next like party or event or when you're with friends, because I don't know if it's true yet. Let me do some research. I'll get back to you.
We'll do some research. Yeah.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Since since Shadowhunters, you've done so much, and you've been a producer on things, and you've done, this is what I love about Shadowhunters, is now it's been 7 years. We get to look and we get to see where people have gone since then. So tell us a little bit. You've been a producer on a few things now, right? And kind of moving forward and a few things with Hallmark, and I just worked with Hallmark for the first time as well. And they're such a wonderful company.
I saw your preview. I saw it. You look amazing. Those movies, I have to shoot another rom-com next week, actually. I've done quite a few of those. They're great. They're awesome. And people are always so lovely on them. And yes, those companies are so great to work for. I was given the opportunity to be a producer on one of my Christmas movies, like the sequel of it. And I had the opportunity to learn. Like, I had never been a producer before. I don't even know what a producer does. I kind of still don't. I feel like they just put out fires like all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just took that as like a really great learning experience. And then I shadowed directors. I've shadowed many directors now over the years. And I learned a lot. Like, seeing the other side of it puts so much into perspective. It's like the actors haven't even got on the set yet, and there's already been like 5 emergencies that they're trying to figure out and like reconfigure, and then the actor comes on and they're like, "Hey, I'm here," and they don't even know that like people have been like putting out flames for them. I'm so tired. I'm like, you have no idea.
Relax.
Like, what has just exactly. So I really enjoy doing stuff like that, and just learning about, you know, the behind the scenes and that stuff. Yeah.
Would you direct?
Yeah.
If that opportunity came, you would love to direct?
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah.
I was like in talks with a production company that I work for to hopefully direct soon. But
cool.
Yeah, like she was like, you know, you can act and direct. And I was like, no way, I am not. I don't think I can. No way.
I don't think. I've had that opportunity I've had the question posited to me a couple of times. And I'm like, I don't think I could. Because I don't think I could, even just from the completely selfish, I don't think I could be critical about myself in a neutral way. I don't think I could see it. I could just see what I'm doing wrong and then, you know what I mean? And like not see sort of the entire picture. I don't think I could do that. I'm just, like, I'm fairly critical as an actor anyway. And I don't think I could do it as a whole thing. I think it would be easier to do it and just... like watch everyone else, you know.
Well, especially while you're doing something else that's relatively new. You know, if you're you're directing for one of the first times and it's a new set of tools that you're trying to figure out, because every job on set is its own entity entirely and its own whole set of skills and responsibilities and challenges. And then to have to double task would be a lot, but interesting.
Yeah, it would definitely be interesting.
It would be. I would be too petrified to try it. I'd be like, I'm the same way. I'd be like, no, I would already be so scared to direct, because you're like, this is a whole new thing. I've never done this before. And then you're also acting. No way. So I was like, no. I would love to maybe do a little rom-com or Christmas movie, because I've done my fair share of those. So, but yeah, I definitely would. I think there needs to be more female voices in the industry.
Agreed.
For sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. You did Spinning Out with Hastings, right? You moved on to work with Hastings. Was Hastings directing then
or not? And Kaya.
Yeah. And Kaya. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You guys did Maze Runners.
We did.
Yes. We talked about you. She loves you. Spinning Out was amazing. I'm so sad that didn't take off.
Yeah.
Do you have a background in ice skating?
Yeah. I used to figure skate competitively when I was younger.
Wow.
And I quit and I never put skates on again and had no desire to at all. And so I auditioned for this show and I got this really great character, Leah, who was so mean, like so mean. And I was like, excellent. I love this. But I had to get the skates back on, and we were training for like months before we even went to camera, like every single day. It was a lot in freezing cold rinks. And I mean, I had had a kid at that point. In fact, actually, when we filmed the finale, I just found out I was pregnant with my second.
Wow.
And I was staying with Johnny Weir, who is, amazing. And he was like one of the first people I told, because I had to tell him, like, I was a little nervous. I mean, I feel comfortable on the ice, but, you know, anything can happen. But, it was a lot. I've never had to train so hard for something. other than a dance movie, but this was even more. It was a lot. So, but yeah, Kaya, oh my God, she was so great.
She's really wonderful.
Yeah. She had like never been on ice before and they had to like teach her how to skate.
That's incredible. I mean, yeah. I have little to no experience on ice, and we had one scene that, you know, was a really big deal on the ice. But I couldn't even imagine doing a whole show. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it was fun. That was another bummer that didn't, you know, work out, because it was a great show. It touched on so many things like mental health and sport and, you know, the competitiveness, but it happens. But yeah, it was
great. It's so weird. You just never know. You just never know, no matter how confident you are or how right something is, you just never know what people are going to respond to. It's such a weird animal. And then I guess as well, because there's always sort of that disparity of time between like, this show's going to land, like everything that's going on right in this moment, this show's going to land. And then it can take like a year for it to come out and the world changes and you're like, everyone's going to hate it now. This is not the right time.
I know. Yeah, for sure. That would be a rough situation, a rough go. But I mean, I was confident when I got the call from producers. I was like, we're getting renewed. And they were like, hi. I was like, wait.
That's a bad high.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, what's going on? I thought they were joking. I was like, this is not, no way. Like, but it happened. I mean, you know, we've all been on that receiving end of calls and
we certainly have.
When I got the call for this, I was doing like a European drinking tour with Matt Daddario. So we were in like a nightclub and I get this call and I'm like, oh, I should answer this. This is my boss. So I go out, take the call, come back in, and he's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, get your phone out. And he gets his phone out, and as soon as it comes out, it starts ringing, and I'm like, you should go take that.
Oh my
you should
God.
Go answer that call. Yeah. I don't
Did
want
it
to be
ruin
the one to
your
tell
vacation?
You. No, not at all. Like, I think actually what was quite nice about it is that we had each other, and we had the ability to sort of start almost reflecting before it was even over. It was actually quite a nice... Like it was one of the best people to be with, because I was with someone who knew exactly what I was going through, and I could like decompress with him over this whilst we were there, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
With him, and he can do the same. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it actually ended up being quite nice in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's better than being alone.
Yeah. I was the same way. And it's sort of, you get the call and it's almost akin to getting the call that you're cast in something like that, because it's, you know, your life's going to change and you're not exactly sure how, and it's difficult to fathom that sort of unknown.
That's a fun one that I've learned to predict as well. So I don't know if this happens with you guys, but it happens with me. So I know, like, you know, when you're sort of actually in contention for a role, you've done a few auditions, you've tested, you know, there's only a couple guys or girls left in your sort of round. You're like, one of us is going to get this role. I don't know who it is, but one of us is going to get this role. And what I figured out is that if my manager calls me, and just my manager, I didn't get the role. I don't even need to answer the phone. I know I didn't get the role. If I get a call and they go, hey, we've got your team, everyone on the call, I'm like, oh, baby, I got this one. I know I got this one. This is great. I got this one. But if it calls and it just says his name, I'm like, ah, shit. This hasn't gone my way.
Those are the hard ones.
Yeah, it's become such a strange world too with all these. I had a weird one recently when Walker Independence got picked up. I was on an international flight when the news broke. The one international flight I've had in the last 5 years where there was just no Wi-Fi. And so I land.
You didn't know?
I had no idea for hours. And I land and nobody knew why I wasn't responding. And the phone just went, all of these texts and emails and calls came in of like, the first things I saw were, where are you and what's wrong? And I'm going, what? I don't know. I was on a flight. What's going on? And then suddenly everything poured in and I kind of put the pieces together. So no one, I didn't even get to hear the news. I had to put the pieces together from fragments of messages.
Are you serious? That's insane. So they released it into the press before you even found out that it was happening.
Yeah, because I had been called, but I was on a flight. And I completely missed the call. God. I missed all the calls, all the emails, the group texts, the everything.
Okay,
the deadline
amazing.
Article. It's wild how, you know. Yeah. But that's the one thing in this industry. We, you know, our lives change left, right, and center.
Exactly. Yeah, they can
get
change
to ride
tomorrow.
That wave.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Was that shot in Canada?
No, we shot that in New Mexico, actually.
Oh, because I think the other Walker one was Calgary, Alberta, I believe, right?
Might have been. I don't actually know where they shot the pilot. I know they shot...
Or Vancouver.
Yeah. I know they shoot that one in Austin now, but...
Okay.
It's all over. I mean, they shoot... There's a ton of stuff that shoots, like, in Calgary and all the Westerns that shoot up there. It's such a beautiful part of the country.
Mm. It is. It's gorgeous, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto's fun. I just had another buddy book a show in Toronto, and he's like, do you have any recommendations? And I'm like, oh, baby, get ready, because I'm just going to offload all of my favorites. And then I'm like, you can go to this bar, but don't mention my name because I'm not allowed in this one anymore. And like, there's different like things.
Dom, it's so good to hear that you do that too, because every time someone mentions Toronto, I'm always like, oh, I have stuff for you. And then I have a 30-minute diatribe, and they're kind of going, I'll introduce them to my buddies,
like my Canadian friends. I'm like, if you want to have this sort of night out, go see this person. If you want to go on hikes, go see this person. Like, and now I have to go back through and remember all of the people that I've recommended him to, and then text them and be like, hey, just so you know, I gave your number to a stranger, and they might reach out. Sorry.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Because you guys were here for so long, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It was almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is wild. I realized when we were shooting the series finale that I had spent more time in Clary's clothes on our sound stages than I had in my own apartments or my own personal life with my friends and family. Mm-hmm. And it's wild when you're doing that many episodes of a series or any kind of a show, how much of your life is spent in that world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it becomes home, and cast becomes family because, you know. It just works out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin, before we let you go, I have one more question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what your future is. What do you want to do next? What is there anything coming up that we should look out for? Would you play a vampire again? Would you never play a vampire again? What's going on? What's in your head?
I would definitely play a vampire again. I don't think I would wear the double wig. That was like honestly one of the worst parts of it. Like I had headaches.
I bet.
Within 10 minutes of this like huge ass wig on my head. What do I want to do next? I mean, I definitely want to play, I like playing like those darker characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to direct. I'm definitely very much interested in that. Again, not acting and directing in the same thing, but I would like to try directing. I'm scared to, but I think that that's a good thing. I think, you know, you can get comfortable doing rom-coms and Christmas movies. So I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to live in this world, I want to do something that's going to challenge me, make me scared of the first day, and you know,
for sure. I mean, I think back to my first day on literally any set, still now to this day, and it scares the shit out of me. Like, it's still a really nerve-wracking
like
thing
to
step in. It is. Yeah it's exactly
it
what it's like.
Yeah,
it is. But also, it's a fun challenge, and it's an exciting. Mm-hmm. Every time you have a new opportunity, every time you have a new chapter, it's a new horizon, and it's an opportunity to grow and learn. And I think that's something that everyone who jumped into Shadowhunters, yourself included, was so astronomical to see everyone dive in and grow and change and learn and enhance our world because everyone was so willing to play.
Yeah, it was fun. Man, good memories. It really was a good show.
Well, listen, I would be honored to be directed by you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, guys.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really, really nice to see you guys and talk and chat and catch up.
You too.
Yeah.
Real pleasure.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Dominic Sherwood, and Catherine McNamara. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producer is Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia. And our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey, performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara. And the episode was mixed by Seth Alansky.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024.
2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.